Thanks for downloading Inheritance Tracks. This was first broadcast in 2010, and you can hear more every week on Saturday Live, BBC Radio 4's top live Saturday morning live radio programme, from 9.
Robert Harris's father worked at the local printing plant, and it was this environment of words that fueled the young Robert's ambition to become a writer. His early years took him on a mighty climb from a council estate in Nottinghamshire to becoming the president of the Cambridge Union. After a stint on the Sunday Times, he'd become the political editor of The Observer by the tender age of 30. And it is his keen interest in politics that pervades his best-selling books. His first novel, Fatherland, told of a fictional world where Germany had won World War II. Enigma and Archangel have followed, and he's just published part two in his trilogy, centred around the life of Cicero. Now, if you're searching for this work in a bookstore, where it is out now, it's called Lustrum in this country and Conspirata in America. We phoned the publishers to find out why, but we'd still be here when any question starts if I told you the answer. When Robert came in to Saturday Live's penthouse apartment, he had a firm handshake and a warm smile. We like these things, and we like his Inheritance Tracks.
The song that I would inherit would have to come, I think, from the war. My father was a huge fan of the big bands and all that, and so the one that I've picked out is Tommy Dorsey, who was probably his favourite, and the piece is Opus Number 1. I was born in 1957, 12 years after the war. But I think it's easy to forget just how important the aftermath of the Second World War was at the time when I was growing up. It dominated all the comics, it was on television, people talked about it. There was even physical damage around, still bomb sites and so on, where I grew up in Nottingham. When I hear it, I think about my father and I think about my own childhood and I think about the Second World War, which in a funny way I almost feel I absorbed by osmosis. And I found myself as a writer writing quite a lot about the wartime era. And when I hear this piece of music, I'm instantly transported back to that time. I get an image of aircraft hangars decorated with parachute silk and American airmen and the local English girls going to a dance on a Saturday night. And I get the whole feel of that extraordinary period in our history. I had a very happy childhood and a childhood that was dominated by a lot of talk about politics and history and books. My father had left school at the age of 14, my mother at 13, but he was a self-taught man, read an awful lot. And I developed a great interest in politics and history, I suppose, because of that was the environment in which I grew up as a child. When I was 6 years old, my parents went to the parents' evening at my infant school, and all parents were shown work that the children had done. Most of them was what they'd done on holiday and so on. Mine was an essay entitled, Why Me and My Dad Don't Like Sir Alec Douglas Hume. That was the kind of, I suppose in some ways, rather ghastly, precocious child I was. It's timeless, really. I love its simplicity. I love its bounce. It's clever. It almost is like a piece of Baroque music. It's elegant. I don't think I would ever tire of listening to it. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, when my wife asked what I was going to choose, I played her this and her smile spread across her face because it's hard not to listen to it with a smile. Well, this is almost impossible just to try and pick out from all the thousands of songs that you hear in the different stages of your life mean something to you. But I've decided that I would like to pass on Elvis Costello's Every Day I Write the Book.
Don't tell me you don't know what love is when you are enough to know
This was a very favourite song of my wife's, and it reminds me of the time when we started to go out. And I was ambitious to write books, but I scratched my living at the BBC. And the consequence was that I owed the BBC, as it were, the normal working hours. And to produce my books, I had to give up a lot of weekends and holiday time. And it didn't make me the most congenial of boyfriends. So I think my wife rather consoled herself with this song, "Every Day I Write the Book." And it became a kind of standing joke between us. I used to write non-fiction books, and then I started on this idea, imagining the world as if Hitler had won the war, set in Berlin in 1964. And no one, when I told my friends what I was doing, nobody said, "Hey, well, you're going to make a lot of money out of that," or that sounds like a surefire winner. But I worked away at it, and I wrote the first third. And we'd just had our first child. We had a huge mortgage, an enormous mortgage. And really, I needed two incomes. I needed to write a weekly column for the Sunday Times, and I needed to write a book a year to sort of pay the bills. I'd written the first third of this, and I thought, well, I really just can't afford to waste time if it's not going to be any good. So I sent it to my agent in America, who was looking at another book I was trying to write, a non-fiction book. And one evening I came home and he had rung. And he said, "Forget the non-fiction idea. This first third, I've got interest. There are seven publishers in New York who are interested in it. There's going to be an auction for it." I put the phone down and I thought, this is very strange. And actually, we went away on holiday and I was told that the final bidding would take place while we're on holiday. And that evening, I got a call from New York, and the book had sold for more money than I'd earned in the whole of my life put together before that date. So everything sort of changed, actually. I think what my children would gain from this song is, firstly, it is a very good song. Secondly, I hope that they will gain from it a sort of realisation that their parents were young once. And there was a time when their parents actually listened to pop songs and were really just like them.
You've been listening to Inheritance Tracks from Saturday Live. There are many more to treasure and enjoy on the BBC Radio 4 website, where you can also download Desert Island Discs.